I just want to address one question, okay? Because this is happening in someone's mind out there. This is cool. I'm glad I know about it. But I will never try any of this stupid fasting crap. I just challenge you guys to think for a second, because I would argue that all of you try this fasting crap every day. When? When you go to bed at night. Most of you fast for 12 hours already. So the plan we talked about, the 16 and 8 one, is just an extra couple of hours of not eating. So this isn't as extreme as some of you think. We wrote this book on this and we enabled Facebook comments, which I don't know if that was a good thing or not, but people are like, you are irresponsible and this is dangerous. Like, really? It's dangerous not to eat any food for 4 hours more than you normally would? Nowadays, that's what's dangerous? Jesus, I'm out of touch, I guess. So, I mean, here's what a person who eats every few hours would do, right? So they sleep at night, get their 12 hours of fast, they have a breakfast, they have a lunch, they have a snack, and they have a dinner. If you do that 16-8, this is what you do. You just eat a little bit later, and your calorie spike is bigger, right? Because, I mean, ultimately, you still have to get a certain amount of calories in each day. So if you control that, which you may or may not, like usually when people do fasting, they eat a little bit less, which isn't necessarily a bad thing for most people. But nevertheless, if you keep those calories controlled, your spike just goes up higher at those meals. And if you do that 24 thing, you just have a couple big meals potentially to get your calories, or just one huge one. So that's the only difference, the size of the meal and when you eat it and how frequently you eat it. Okay? When we think of nutrition, I like to think of it in a couple of different sort of best practice areas. The first is how much you eat, calories. The next is what you eat, food selection. And then the next one is when you eat, food timing. All right? And these are the areas most of us talk about. One other huge component of our coaching is something we call how you eat. And most people who go through our coaching program go, I never even heard this before, but it was the biggest impact. And when I say how you eat, I mean how long does it take you to eat a meal? Do you eat in front of the television? Are you eating with distractions? Those types of things. Do you pay attention to fullness and hunger cues? These are the first things we teach. And I don't see many people teaching it. One of our first habits in our program is slow down your eating. We have people actually slow down their eating for a very strong physiological reason. What is it? It usually takes 15 to 20 minutes to sense into your satiety signals. I don't know about you guys, I can eat a lot of calories in 15 minutes. And then I don't know that I'm full until later, and I'm like, boy, I feel like shit now. If you slow down, you never get to that. So that's one step. See how that's a beautiful calorie control mechanism without ever counting calories? It's awesome. Then once you practice that, you can start practicing something else, which is listening to those fullness signals and stopping at certain points in your fullness cycle. So a lot of fat loss clients, we work on eating until 80% full. And we teach what that means and what that feels like, but these are two important habits you rarely ever hear. So anyway, I mean, with this intermittent fasting thing, remember, it's not a new diet. All it's doing is shifting one of those parameters, or a couple. How much you eat and when you eat. What you eat can stay the same. How you eat should stay the same. You should still eat awesome foods. You should still pay attention to fullness and hunger and signals. It's just shifting when and then how much, potentially. So I was doing all this research and I was reading all these communities and I had done my 24-hour fast and I was like, this is really interesting to me. And I heard a great quote, and Dan John, who's speaking, was involved in this, and so was Alan Cosgrove, who's also speaking here this weekend. And Dan had tried some diet at some point to lose body fat, and Alan had emailed him or called him afterwards and was like, hey, you know what's awesome? Now that you've tried that, you can talk about it. And Dan was like, huh, that kind of struck me as really interesting and true. Now that you've tried it, you can talk about it. The corollary to that is what? If you haven't tried it, try shutting up about it. I believe in that philosophy. So I said, before I'm going to write anything about it or answer it, because people started asking me questions all the time. What do you think of intermittent fasting? People are biased already, right? Doesn't it suck? Isn't it awesome? I don't know. I read all the stuff, but let me try it. So I decided to do 6 months of fasting, and it just came at a convenient time for me because, first of all, I'm a lifelong serial, chronic, self-experimenter and dieter. I've tried everything you've heard of and three times that, okay? I try it all because I'm fascinated with it. I have a 700 square foot gym on my property, which also is a laboratory, and I have all kinds of laboratory equipment and stuff. So I'm running tests and trials all the time. So I bring subjects in, friends and family and stuff, subjects, and then myself, and we test stuff all the time. So I wanted to do this intermittent fasting thing, and at the time I had decided to revive my athletic career. I used to be a track sprinter. You know, I decided I wanted to do that again. So I was gonna do master's level competitive track and field. Now at the time I was weighing in about 195 pounds. That was probably about 8% body fat or something like that. And that's too much for that, those goals. So I wanted to try something new because I'm always doing that. I wanted to lose about 20 pounds of body weight, get into the 170-ish range for track, right? So I didn't have so much stuff to lug down the track. I wanted to lose mostly body fat, obviously. I didn't want to lose any lean mass, strength, or power. Obviously supporting my training along. I wanted to feel good while dieting, which historically didn't really happen for me. Like when I've tried to lose fat in the past, I mean, I come from a bodybuilding background. I competed nationally many moons ago. And every time I dieted, it would be really, really short, really, really intense, and suck really, really bad. And it'd take me about 4 days to put all the weight back on. It was the classic cut and bulk cycle that it's basically a legacy our field has inherited, isn't it? Right? We've inherited it from the bodybuilders who are really the foundation of this field in the first place. So we've inherited that legacy. And I wanted to see if there was another way to do this without having that kind of effect where it sucks so bad and you're like, oh, the last day is coming so soon. And then on the last day, you eat like 5 boxes of cereal and that happens for about 2 weeks until you're back to your normal weight and then you're just back to where you were. You're like, okay, cool. I was lean for that one day. And I wanted to stay healthy through the process. So I measured stuff, blood work, all kinds of stuff. So generally over the 6 months, here's what I did. I started with the one full day fast. I did one full day fast a week. Okay, that was it. I controlled my calories. I ate 4 or 5 meals a day normally, Monday through Saturday, and I fasted every Sunday. I did that for 2 months and it worked really well. Okay, I was losing weight at a really progressive rate. My training was good, everything cool. And then I hit a bit of a plateau, so I decided to add in another thing. I did 2 full-day fasts. It's kind of like the eat, stop, eat thing we talked about. That went excruciatingly badly. And in about the first 2 weeks, I think I lost 10 pounds or something like that. I felt awful, so I'm like, oh, that's too much. So then I backed it off, and then I was doing the daily 16-8 fasts. Then I tried 16-8 with a full day fast, and then I tried 16-8 with 2 24-fasts. Okay, and it's all complicated. You don't have to remember any of that. But the reason why I switched at each point was either curiosity or a plateau. Like I had stopped losing body fat or weight, or it just, the last phase was really freaking bad, so I had to do something to right the ship. Okay, and again, I measured everything. And so my body weight from this 2 month period went from like 190 to 178. Then here I went really fast drop. I titrated in about 171, although I had been like as little as like 168 at that one point. Then when I did this, I actually gained 4 pounds of lean mass, which is an interesting thing. So I was like, oh, this one's pretty cool. I'm eating the same amount of food, but I gained 4 pounds of lean mass. Wicked, not trying to do that right now, gotta switch it up. So then I you know, my body weight went back down and really stabilized for the last couple months at about 171, 173. It was awesome for track and it felt really good. And so the ones that I really like the best and work the best were one full day fast and then the 16-8 daily fast. Those are the ones that work best for me using the conditions that I had available and my goals. And then just here's some photos. So here's my before photos. And then here's my after photos. You know, when I measured things, there was maybe 1.5 pounds of lean mass loss. And everyone's like, oh, I'm unwilling to sacrifice that. But that's because everyone thinks it's muscle. Lean mass is not muscle, okay? Muscle is part of lean mass, but it's only a percentage of lean mass. The rest is organs and stuff like that, which I probably didn't lose any, I hope. But most of it's water. Right? Lean mass is water, by and large, 75% of it or whatever is water. And you're gonna lose that when you're training harder and eating in this way and cycling carbs and stuff like that. So I think it's fair to say I lost almost exclusively fat and just a touch of lean mass. And it's just, I mean, it got kind of ridiculous towards the end. I was like, I don't need to be this lean all the time. And I actually started getting like sick and stuff like that, which you typically see in high level elite athletes who are super lean and training super hard. But anyway, it was a cool experiment. And sort of to cap off the story, I ended up having a very successful winter track season last year, and I placed third in Canada in my age group, which I was pretty proud of. And so, mission accomplished.